In this week's parasha, the Torah describes the law of the Eved Ivri. He's sold into slavery for 6 years, then he goes free. What if at the end of the 6 year period he chooses to remain with his master? He's brought to Beis Din, his ear is pierced, and he then remains in servitude until Yovel. Why specifically the ear? Says the Gemara, Oizen Shesham al Har Sinai, the ear that heard in Har Sinai, Kli b'nei Israel av Adam, you shall be servants to me. And he goes and accepts another master. That ear shall be pierced. So who does the piercing? The master himself must do it. It's not very pleasant to pierce someone else's ear, especially someone who's been living in your house for many years. Ask Rabbi Shaul Salanter, why is the master being punished? What did he do wrong? On the contrary, he seems to be a wonderful person, so much so that his slave wants to stay with him even after the 6 years are over. And what is his reward for being so kind? He must endure the bloody process of maiming his servant's ear. So how do we understand that? And Rabbi Shaul Salanter says something very powerful. The master's guilt lies in fostering an environment where the slave feels it is appropriate to remain in servitude rather than embracing the life of a free man. If the master's home truly reflected what a Jewish home should be, then the slave would have internalized the idea that a person's role in life is not to serve another human being, but to serve Hashem. If that was the case, the Eved would not even consider staying beyond 6 years. Because no Jew should be content with a life of slavery and living with a non-Jewish maidservant and having children who will not belong to him and being entirely subjugated to another person, saying, I'm content living the life of a slave. A Jew is meant to strive for growth and spiritual elevation, not complacency. A master who fosters such an environment of stagnation shares in the guilt. And that is why the master must endure part of the trauma of the ear-piercing process. What a beautiful idea from Shaul Salanter. The Shatzer Rebbe once asked a fascinating question. As we know, there are four forms of creation. Doimim, the inanimate, Tzemeach, plant life, Chai, animals, and Medaber, human beings. He asked, why do we find such vast differences in size among the three lower forms of existence? The Doimim, for example, there's a tiny pebble, and Mount Everest, both are Doimim, yet one is millions of times greater than the other. In Tzemeach, plant life, we have a small blade of grass and a towering redwood tree that is 400 feet high. Among animals, we find a fruit fly and an elephant. However, among humans, the physical differences are relatively minor. A foot taller, a foot shorter. Why is it that physically, all human beings are roughly the same size? And he says something so profound. Our physical existence is not who we truly are. Every yid has a heavenly soul, a neshama, which is a piece of the divine. Therefore, our potential is limitless. A person who dedicates themselves to spiritual growth can become millions of times greater than their peers. For example, we have the Chafetz Chaim, and Lahavdil, Chuck Schumer. So in physical size, we're all about the same. But in spiritual stature, there can be a huge difference. So why would this Eved Ivri choose to remain a lowly slave? Why is he content living with a Shifcha Kananis? It is because his master never demonstrated to him what it means to elevate the soul. His master's home was not a place where he could learn how to grow spiritually and reach his true potential. This is why the master is given the indignity of piercing his servant's ear. His failure to create an environment of spiritual aspiration has consequences, not just for the slave, but for himself as well. And with that, I'd like to share with you a fascinating story. Rabbi Yosef Friedenson, who passed away in 2013, was the editor of the Yiddish Shavart for nearly 70 years. He once recounted a story from Auschwitz. He and a man named Aviezer were assigned the grim task of transporting refuse from the kitchen depository and emptying all the garbage cans around the camp and carting the waste to the dump. One winter day, with freezing temperatures and heavy winds, they were pushing their cart past the area separating the men's and the women's compounds. And one day they noticed a young girl waving frantically, trying to catch their attention. Pale and shivering from the cold, she kept calling out to them, but the howling wind and the distance made it difficult to hear what she was saying. Straining to understand, Aviezer turned to Yosef. Did you hear what she said? I think she said, Can't ihr mir kriegen ein Sweater? She must be asking for a sweater. The request seemed impossible. Where would they find a sweater in Auschwitz? A few days later, while passing by a warehouse, Eliezer slipped in through a side door. When he emerged, he says, Yossel, I found a sweater. It's underneath my uniform. They had become so emaciated that even a wool sweater hidden beneath their clothing was virtually undetectable. Throughout the day, each time they passed by the area near the women's compound, they searched for that girl. Eventually, they saw her again, and she urgently was waving to them. Elated, Eliezer ran over. He removed his thin prisoner's jacket and revealed the sweater to her. Quickly, he took it out and he tossed it over the fence to the young woman. She picked it up and she looked at it a little strange. She asked them, Was ist das? What is this? And they told her, It's a sweater. It's what you asked for to keep you warm. A sweater? I don't need a sweater, she said. I need a siddur. It's almost Rosh Hashanah, and I need a siddur that I can daven. And the young man was speechless. Naturally, their focus had been on survival, on physical warmth and sustenance. It had never crossed their minds that someone in such a dire situation could forsake their own comfort for the sake of spiritual growth. So even though this young girl was enslaved under horrible circumstances, she refused to be imprisoned. She embodied a neshama that strove to rise above its physical reality. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.